Great. Thank you. Lovely words to that song. Now, New Year's Day this year was on a Sunday, 1st of January. I was preaching that Sunday. I wondered, do you remember what I preached on? I'm not expecting anybody to remember what I preached last Sunday, never mind the 1st of January. But we had a family service on Sunday morning, and I preached on Acts 2. Acts 2 is the story of the church as it's formed and comes to being on the day of Pentecost. And there's a great passage in Acts 2 as it tells us what the early church did together, how they met together, how they broke bread, how they shared and cared for one another. And one of the things it lists there in Acts 2 is they prayed together, because the early church was a praying church. And I really shared my heart that first day. You know, 1st of January, it's the new day of New Year's resolutions. I shared my desire for this, our local church. And I shared that day how my desire was that I wanted our church to be a praying church, and really encouraged folks to pray privately, to pray corporately, to be involved in our church prayer meetings. Just to remind you, you know, this Wednesday night, come and be part of a prayer meeting or a small group. We're almost 6 months on from the 1st of January. We're in the middle of June at the moment. And my desire for this church still remains the same. We need to be a church that's praying. Because it's essential. It's essential for any church. As individuals who've come along here this evening, we need to be people, if we're believers, where prayer is a key and a main focal point of our life. But also as a church, Carrickfergus Baptist Church, a local church here, it's essential that we are a praying church. Why is it essential? I'm going to give you two reasons this evening. The first reason is the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ, when he lived here on earth, was a man of prayer. If you work through the Gospels, you read lots of stories of the incredible miracles that Jesus did. We read about his great teaching, the parables that he taught. And obviously the Gospels don't give us a complete summary of everything Jesus did here on earth, but it gives us a portrait of some of the things that Jesus did during his ministry. But as you work your way through the Gospels, there are 19 occasions where you find Jesus Christ in prayer. Jesus' earthly ministry was marked by prayer. Everything Jesus did in his ministry here was totally dependent upon his heavenly Father. And that's why he came to his Father in prayer. Now let's think about that. If Jesus Christ, with all his power and all his perfection, depended upon prayer to his Father, how much more do we depend on prayer to our Heavenly Father? I think about myself with all my weaknesses, with all my imperfections. Why is prayer essential? If Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, Lamb of God who was sung about, depended on prayer, how much more do we, in all our ministry, whether it be coaching for Christ, whether it be a Monday night, whether it be public services here, as we try and live Christian godly lives in our homes and in our workplaces, how much more do we need to depend on prayer? So we have the example of our Savior Jesus Christ, but we also have the exhortation of Scripture. Lots of places in Scripture where it sets an example of prayer, it commands us to prayer, it teaches us to pray. I want to just go to one verse, a well-known verse that we'll know from James 5 and verse 16. Here's an exhortation to pray, an encouragement to pray, where it says, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." We probably all know those words, but we need those words to strike home to our hearts again today. The prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. What is the writer James telling us here? When the righteous people pray, things happen. When righteous people pray, things change. Why? Because their prayers are powerful and effective. When the righteous pray, they are not talking to four walls. Sometimes when we pray, we think, what's the point? Nothing's going to happen. Nothing is going to change. No, what does God's word encourage us with? The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, it's not our prayers. It's our prayers are not powerful, sorry, because we are powerful. It's not as if we're some, you know, super mini heroes who have our own powers. Why are our powers, our prayers powerful? It's because our God is powerful, and he hears and he answers prayer. It's one of these great mysteries. How does prayer work? The Bible doesn't give us this kind of formula. But a sovereign, almighty, all-knowing God doesn't need our prayers, but he asks us to pray, and he tells us that our prayers are powerful and effective. Now, some people in this verse trip over the phrase, a righteous man. What does that mean? When we think about a righteous man, we think of somebody who's extra holy. That's somebody who's super spiritual, a righteous man. It's only the super spiritual people whose prayers are powerful and effective. A righteous man is actually somebody who is in a right relationship with God. That's what righteous means, that you're in the right relationship with God. And being in a right relationship with God isn't dependent about how super holy and special I am, because no matter how super holy and special I try to be, I'm always going to fall short of God's perfect standard. How do you get into a right relationship with God? How do you become righteous? It's simply in the faith, by putting our faith in what Jesus Christ has done, not what we do, but what Jesus Christ has done. That is the great message of the gospel. That's the great exchange that happens when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. He takes our sins, he takes our failings, he takes our weaknesses, and he took them and he took the punishment for them on the cross. In exchange for our sins, what does he give us? He gives us his righteousness. We are clothed in robes of righteousness. And so when God the Father looks upon us, he sees not our filthy sin, he sees his Son's perfect righteousness. And he accepts us on that basis. We are brought into a right relationship. The prayer of a righteous man, righteous person, that is somebody who is in a right relationship with God. That is somebody who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I wonder this evening, is that you? Are you righteous? Do you have a right relationship with your Heavenly Father? Have you put your faith and trust in his Son and his ministry on the cross? If you're not righteous, you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You need to get that relationship put right. And if you are righteous, and that is many of you here this evening in this room, can I ask you this question? Are you praying to your Heavenly Father? Because if you're a believer, the prayer of a righteous person, a believer, is powerful and effective. That verse, this well-known verse that we've let wash over us so many times because we know it so well, should drive us to our knees. As we think about our church, as we think about our families, as we think about our communities, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It is not a waste of time, and yet it's this incredible privilege to be engaged in powerful and effective prayer. I hope you pray. I hope you pray for your family. But let me say this as well. I hope in your prayers that you pray for our church family, this local church that you're part of. Or if you're a visitor here tonight and you attend another church regularly, I hope you pray for your church family there. Do you know what's easier to do? It's easier to criticize your church. It's easier to criticize your church family. Every church has its weaknesses. It's made up of sinful people. One day the church will be perfect in heaven. It's so easy to pick out the faults and say, I wish they did this. I wish they changed that. The church would be more effective if it did that. It's so easy to find faults and failures. But you know what a better thing to do for your church is? Is to pray for your church and the church family. Use your words. Use your effort praying for your church. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I think we all know this. I think we know the words of this verse. I think we all know that it's good to pray. We all know that we should pray. But here's the reality, and I'm going to speak truthfully and honestly for myself here tonight. Many of us find prayer hard, don't we? Nobody wants to answer out in public on that one. Prayer's difficult. Prayer can be difficult at times. To have the discipline of prayer, to spend time in prayer. We know we should do it. We know that it's powerful. We know that it's effective. But how often our prayer life is just feeble. And one of the difficulties I think with prayer is we find it dull and monotonous. And when we start to pray, so often we just go in the autopilot. I need to pray. And we start praying, and the words just spill out of our mouth, the same words that we always pray. You know, we just pray the same things over and over again. It can be difficult to know what to pray about and how to pray, how to concentrate on prayer. And sometimes it's good to have some help. Sometimes it's good to have some structure. So what I want to do this evening is we think about prayer and this desire, and we should all have to pray, is to recommend a book to you this evening. I'm going to throw a picture of it up on the screen. The book is this one here. It's called Five Things to pray for your church. Five things to pray for your church. This is a good tool to help you pray for your church family. And that's what I really want to encourage you to do this evening. It's going to be quite practical this evening. Encourage you to pray, yes, because prayer is powerful and effective. But to encourage you to pray specifically for this local church. This book, Five Things to Pray, has a very simple format. It has 21 sections, 21 very short chapters, and each section has a different theme. Let me read out some of the themes in this book. So it's entitled, Praying That My Church Would, and then it gives different sections, My Church Would Be Devoted to One Another. And then there's a different section, Praying That My Church Would Love and Serve One Another, That My Church Would Give Generously, That My Church Should Preserve or Persevere When They Get Weary. And sometimes we do get weary. Praying for the children in my church. Praying for the young people in my church. Praying for the elderly. It also has praying for another church near us. And so you've got 21 different themes throughout this book. And really what each theme does, very simple, it gives you a little passage of scripture, short passage, a few verses to think about, and then it gives you five prayer points on that theme. This book can be used in different ways. So there's 21 sections. You could do it in 21 days. You take a different section each day, read the couple of verses, and use the five prayer points and pray specifically for an aspect of our local church here. You could use the book over 21 weeks, where you take one section over a week. There's five prayer points. Take one each day, maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You could lift this book once a week and just dip in somewhere at random. You could lift the book occasionally. There's lots of different ways you could use this tool that helps you focus and concentrate and gives you good things to pray about as well. I wonder, do you struggle in prayer? I think you would find this book very, very helpful. There are actually two books in this series I want to recommend. There's this one, Five Things to Pray for Your Church, but there's also Five Things to Pray for Your Family. Now, what I have with me this evening, I have this copy in my hand. I actually have 25 copies of this book on a table in the back corner. If you go into a bookshop, this will cost you a number of pounds to buy. I have got free copies of this book this evening because I do believe it would be a good tool to help people pray specifically for our church. And really, these are a free gift on the back. It goes on the premise of first come, first serve this evening. I encourage you to take one. But only take one with one if you're willing to have a commitment to it. Everybody loves a freebie, don't they? Oh, there's a free book. Let's take that, throw it in the back of the car, throw it in the bookshelf, and it's never opened. If you're going to take a book this evening, take it with a commitment that you want to pray for our church. I want to pray, and I want to use this as a tool. Now, you don't need to take this book. You can pray for our church every day without reading a book like this. It is possible, but I have found this a help for myself. You don't need to buy this book to be part of a series or a home group here in this church. This is the only time I'm going to show this. You know, I'm not saying you have to have this book. I just think this is a tool that may be helpful for people here. And if you want one and you want to be committed to praying for our church, lift one free of charge at the end. But tonight, just as we finish off the last few minutes, what I want to do is I want to look at one of the sections in this book. I want to read out the five prayer points. We want to read the passage, sorry. I want to read the five prayer points. We want to think about them tonight. And then there are going to be five of us here on the platform, and we're going to pray through each of the five points as we pray for our church this evening. I'm going to start by reading this section here. It's on page 15 of the book. It's five things to pray that my church would be a body growing in maturity. That's what we want for our local church. We want our church to grow up. Wouldn't it be a real shame if your children just stayed at the same maturity level the whole way through their life? You know, they're 4 years of age and they stay at the maturity level of a four-year-old the whole way through. You want to see people grow and mature. Do you know what one of the great things of doing the interview with Phil tonight was? To see how he has grown and matured as a young man, spiritually as well. I think back to 4 years ago when I came to the church. Obviously, Phil was a bit younger. Great to baptize Phil a number of years ago. But even listen to him talk at the front and share with us and share what he's been doing, isn't it great to see his maturity? That's what we want to see, not just in our young people, but throughout our church. We want to see our church grow and mature. And so what this book does is it gives us that prayer focus and it gives us a passage. And if you've got a Bible with you, maybe you could turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read a few verses. Ephesians 4, 11 through to 16. This is actually a passage that Paul referenced in his sermon this morning. Ephesians 4, and we're going to read verses 11 through to 16. But we're going to read it in different sections because that's the way the book has split it up. So the first prayer point, as we think about our church maturing, it says, first prayer point is, first one you can see on the screen there, be equipped. Let's read verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians 4. And he gave the apostles, this is Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And so it tells us why certain gifts and roles within the local church have been given. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, pastors and teachers. What's their purpose? To equip the saints, not to do everything themselves, to equip the saints, to train the saints for works of ministry, for what purpose? For the building up of the body of Christ. Paul was speaking about that this morning. God's purpose is not that few people do everything, but all of us who are believers, that we serve the church so that the church can be built up, that the church might grow spiritually. And so let me read the prayer point for be equipped. Thank God for leaders that Christ himself has given to the church. Pray that your church would see your leaders in the same way that Paul does, not there to do everything themselves, but to equip all of Christ's people to do his work. Ask God to give your leaders wisdom in discerning the areas where members need equipping most and how best they can do it. So let's pray that our church would be equipped, not with just one, two people do everything, but equipped with people trained for service for the building up of the church. That we encourage to find different people's spiritual gifts and use them for the blessing of the body. The second point, prayer point in this section is be united. Let's read verse 13 again. Or for the first time actually. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Unity doesn't need to be manufactured in a church. We have a random group of people in a church building. Random group of people. We have young children sitting over here. We have a baby out who's been taken outside. We have people here who are in their 70s, 80s, 90s. There's a difference in age. There's a difference in gender. We have male, we have female. We have people who are retired with people who are at school. With people in workplace with people who have never worked. With people here who are highly educated. With people here who have never passed an exam in their life. We have people who are interested in certain things and other people who don't like those hobbies or interests. We have a random collection of people, and yet we are united. And we don't have to manufacture this unity. What is it that unites us here in this room? If we're believers, what unites us is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so a local church should be a place that displays that unity. It should be evident that we are a united group because we have a joint Savior. Here's what the prayer point says. Pray that your church's unity would not come from being similar types of people in the first place, but that it would be a deeper kind of unity. Unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Then the third point, become mature. Let's read verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up or mature in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So as we speak the truth in love to one another, this should have an effect of us growing up, of maturing. That's the type of growth we want to see in church. Okay, it's exciting when new people come. We need to put out extra chairs. But that's not really the growth we should want to see in our church. That's not the growth we should be praying about. You know the growth we should be praying about? Spiritual growth. Spiritual maturity. Let me read the prayer point. Become mature. Pray that your church would be growing more and more into the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Then the fourth point, be steadfast. We'll go back to verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. It's very easy for a church to wobble and to be moved along by false teaching out there. We need to be steadfast. We need to be a church that holds the truth of Scripture and holds the truth of the gospel. And so we have this prayer point for our church. Pray that your church would not be tossed back and forth by the waves. Pray that your church would hold steadfastly to the truth. Pray that every member, whether they're preaching from the front, contributing to Bible study, or chatting over coffee, would remain confident in the truths of God's word. And then the final point, build each other up. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's what we want. We want the church to be built up in love. Let me read the prayer point. Ask God to help your church grow and build up one another. Ask God to give you specific opportunities to do so when you next meet with your church family. And pray that those who are on the fringes of church life would come to see the essential role they can play in your church family as well. It's a very simple format. I encourage this book. You want to take a copy. This will really help your prayer life as you pray for the church. It's a simple tool. A couple of verses, 5 prayer points, pray it in. Imagine what would happen in the life of our church if we all started praying specifically for our church. And not just praying token prayers, Lord bless our church, but praying specifically, praying, taking Scripture and praying it into the lives of our church. What would happen if we took prayer seriously and prayed specifically for our church? Well, remember that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Let's take that verse with us and let that encourage us to pray. I'm going to ask the elders to come and join me on the platform at the moment. And we're going to pray together. So if the 4 men would come and join us. There are 5 elders and there are 5 prayer points, which works out very well. We're going to pray. And maybe you gents would use the microphone here. So I'm going to pray that we would be equipped as a church. And then Archie's going to pray that we would be united. Campbell's going to pray that we would become mature as a church. Stanley's going to pray that we would be steadfast, that we would hold the truth. And then Paul's going to pray that we would build each other up and we would grow in love in the knowledge of God. So let's join together as we pray for our local church here. Dear Father, we do thank you for the local church. And we thank you've given different roles and different gifts. And we just pray for those of us who are in leadership in this church that we would take it seriously. That we would equip the saints for works of service. That we would look to develop the spiritual gifts of all our congregation. That they might feel part of this church and use their gifts so the church might be built up to live for you, to love you more, and to serve you in our community. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.